Hoodie is on vacation today and tomorrow. We'll be in for the guys. Cap will be in for us. We have a short show on the Waddle and Sylvie shift 2 to 6 every day. And so the Sox will start at 3. So Cap will handle that solo. So we're flip-flopping, sort of continuing this spring trading theme. We're filling in 7 to 10 each and every day for Cap and Jay Hood. RG3, one of our favorite guests, is going to join us at 9:30. We've had him on a time or two. I think he's very good at what he does, both on the college football broadcast and talking NFL. He's a huge proponent of what Justin Fields does and getting him help. I know they were talking about Fields today on Get Up and the Bears having a big season this year and some of the steps that they could make. And then, Shay, you're in a safe place today talking about a big improvement. You don't have to be talked down to today about doing it the right way. We can talk about doing it the right way and making a big jump to 7 to 9 wins while doing it the right
Shouldn't
way.
Shouldn't be, you know, that's the easy part. It's like the teardown is the easy part. The rebuild is the difficult part. The going from 3 games to 7 wins is the easy part. The tough part's going from 7 or 8 to 11 or 12. So we're still in that phase where the hard part isn't here yet. The hard part is to come. Maybe you leap past one of these stages and you go right from 3 wins to 10 wins. I don't expect it. But it's not unheard of. But the easy part is going from being 3 and 14 to being a team that you can see tangible improvement in. Yeah. And when you see tangible improvement, this isn't science, people, the record will come along for the ride. That's just natural.
If Justin Fields is a true franchise quarterback, there shouldn't be an issue of going from 3 to 8. If he really is, and he takes that jump of being a true franchise quarterback,
what'd you see
in the same offense?
Amen. Amen. What'd you see with Trevor Lawrence this year?
Yeah.
You got a coach that knows what he's doing, and you surrounded him with some quality players, and Trevor Lawrence took that next step. And they got themselves to what? 9 and 8? Weren't they a 9 and 8 team?
Yeah.
They won the division 9 and 8. They went into the postseason. If you make the right decisions and the quarterback develops, the record will come along.
Look what happened
for the ride
when Geno Smith finally played up to what the Jets thought he would be years and years ago, with Seattle.
He threw
for 30 touchdowns, and all of a sudden, they had a good draft, and Geno played well.
Yes.
Right? They were far away. The Bears, if they have a good draft after a good free agency and Justin plays well,
it's not rocket
winning
science.
8 games is not asking too much.
Listen, it's not rocket science. I mean, it's really easy to follow. When your quarterback, who's the most important player in your system, takes significant steps towards being a franchise caliber quarterback, your record will come along for the ride.
What I always think, too, is like people talk about 8 or 9 wins as if it's some insurmountable goal. It's really, it should be the expectation, because the Bears played what last year? 9 one-score games, and they were 1 and 8. If you win 30% more of your one-score games, you're still a 4 and 5 team in those games, but that's 3 more wins. That right there puts you at 6. All you got to do is find 2 more wins to get to 8. It's not some insurmountable number. It really should be expected if you have the improvement that we think we're going to have.
Look, your division, first of all, is more manageable.
Yes.
Like, they were 0-6 in the division last year. I mean, you should literally be a 500 team in your division with the group around you.
Without Aaron Rodgers in there, go 3 and split with each team.
Split with each team. That's not asking for too much. So, again, it ain't rocket science here. If you're a big believer in the quarterback and you're a big believer in the general manager and you like some of the moves that have been made, and this won't be done in one season, you won't win the Super Bowl in 2023. But if you are a big fan of the progress, the record's going to come along for the ride. It just will. Instead of losing these one-score games that Shay is talking about, your quarterback, with his development, will help take you over the goal line, and you will win some of those games.
Yes.
You won't even be, you won't have to play all of these games that are down to the wire. You may have some of them, but look, if the kid is a true player, he's going to take the team upward and onward with him.
Right.
That's just the nature of the position.
I think the best way to sum it up is if the two guys, if Poles and Fields are true players.
Sure.
The Bears should finish in the 7-9 win range. If Poles and Fields are true players, 7-9 wins this year.
Yeah.
Free agency, drafting, and Fields improvement should get you there.
I think
that's not asking too much.
Well, and I think the record is a little bit, in some ways, a little deceiving this year. We could talk about the close games that they lost as well, but you also intentionally made decisions that made it more likely you were going to lose more games. You traded two of your best defensive players. You know, your offensive, your off season, you did some things, but you didn't do a lot of things because you weren't ready to win. So the cupboard was left bare in some ways intentionally. It's go time now. Again, we said this all last season. I was patient. I was calm. I appreciated the path they were taking. I thought Ryan Poles took the right approach. This is a teardown. But all of that goodwill and that patience starts to go away now because you've had the most money and you've had the number one draft pick. And you have been given a lot. So a lot is going to be expected. So the patience isn't going to be the same in 2023 the way it was in 2022.
Right, right. My guy Capital in Twitch says, Sylvie loves Poles. I don't know if I love him yet. I really don't. But he has the opportunity, given all this ammo, given all this free agency money, that if his moves work out, he should have the major impact. We would talk about Jacksonville. That was the formula. Trevor Lawrence took the big step within the season. They added the big free agent crop.
Yes.
And they drafted pretty well.
Yeah.
So the
and
general
they had a new coach.
Right. Yeah. They hired the right coach. The quarterback took the step. They signed a lot of free agents. If his free agency and it's the drafting, you know how I feel about this. The Bears for all the years. The only time they reached the Super Bowl other than 85 was in 06. And the reason why they did was because they drafted well. Because Mark Hatley drafted years before that Brian Urlacher, Olin Krutz.
Yeah.
Then Lance Briggs ended up drafted. Pina Tillman was drafted. You can go on and on. Foundational pieces like Roosevelt Colvin, who wasn't on that team, but like really good players were drafted by the organization. And then they had a pretty good run under Lovey. And yes, there were some free agents mixed in that supplemented it, but that team was built with good young players through the draft. As soon as Angelo stopped drafting well, as soon as guys like Chris Williams were drafted on the offensive line, who was a medical guy, Dan Bazine in the second round, medical guy. As soon as all of that, the drafting went away, the Bears' sustained success went away. And then that's why between 2010 and 2023, there's really been no playoff runs except 2018. The pop-up, it's because they haven't drafted right. So Ryan Poles now, given all these draft picks, if he can set a foundation, they're going to be good.
Listen, the jury's out on him, on the quarterback. The jury's out. I'm not in the camp that Ryan Poles has already proven himself to be an upper echelon general manager, and I'm not in the camp that the quarterback has proven that he is truly the answer to your quarterbacking problems. Both guys could take enormous steps towards solidifying those two concepts. But right now, I'm still in wait-and-see mode. They've got a lot at their disposal. We've seen things from both guys, the quarterback and the general manager, that you like. You've also seen things from both of them that still leave you with questions. Velus Jones, you know, the Chase Claypool trade. You're the quarterback. You averaged 150 passing yards. The accuracy at times wasn't there. The mechanics would break down. It's a process. Like, I've seen good and bad from both. I don't think it's fair to come to any long-term conclusions about either guy at this point. But at the end of this season, you're going to have a more thorough evaluation at your disposal on both of these guys. And this is what I said at the end of last year when we knew that they had the number one overall pick and they had the most cap space.
Yep.
I'm not telling you how many games they're going to win. But what I did say to you was, and I'll say it a thousand times, if this team wins five games next year, this upcoming season, something went wrong. The quarterback didn't make progress, or the general manager didn't make hay with what was at his disposal. I'm not predicting an MVP for the quarterback or a Super Bowl run for the team. Five wins will lead you to the conclusion that something went wrong.
Right. Or a major injury to Fields or something like that. That's something going wrong.
Right. That is something going wrong.
So something major went wrong if they only win five.
Yes,
3 to 5,
in my opinion.
Listen,
this league, especially the NFC, is very mediocre.
The draft wasn't good. Your free agency wasn't good.
Listen, this isn't being a sycophant, a Bears-loving crazy. This is putting the expectation on them. Like, listen, you've had a lot of money. You've had a lot of draft picks. You've been put in a position. The excuses aren't there anymore to a certain degree. Now, here's the expectation level. It ain't five wins. Not in the NFC.
Yeah, right. Like, that's where Cap and I completely differ. You can do it the right way. You can build it the right way and still win between 7 and 9 games next year. You don't have to pick one. You can build it the sustainable way by drafting correctly, and there are still holes to fill, but you can still win 7 or 8 games and even 9 if luck goes your way and doing it the right way. You can have both go the right way this year. I want to ask you about Jalen Carter. I have a Jalen Carter question for you that we didn't get to. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. Taylor thinks that we're giving fans false hope. I want to take his call. He's one of my favorite callers. 332-3776. It's Waddle and Sylvie. We're in for Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Waddle and Sylvie in for Cap and Jay Hood. You'll hear Cap on our show today. We have a short show on the Waddle and Sylvie show because of White Sox baseball. So with hoodie off, they asked us to do Cap and Jay Hood. We'll be in tomorrow as well. RG3 will join us at 9:30. I asked this to Carm yesterday. This was during spring trading, and we were going through the mocks. In both of the mocks done by the big NFL guys, it was Mel Kiper on ESPN, Daniel Jeremiah with the NFL Network. They both had Jalen Carter going before the Bears.
I saw him going to the Detroit Lions in a couple of instances.
Yeah, one was going to the Lions, and the other one went to Seattle. So, like, one went at 5, one went at 6. So with all the talk about him messing up the pro day, with all the talk messing up off the field and having character issues, they have him only dropping a few spots at this peak time. So who knows, with a few more weeks to go, he could move up even more. Like, we have talked about, would you take him off your board at 9? And
no.
So my question to you is, and I ask this to Carmen, would you rather have that taken out of your...
No, I want it at my disposal.
Want him to fall to the Bears and have you to make the decision.
Absolutely.
Instead of make it for you.
Right. Why would I want an option to be taken off my plate?
Because it could still be a bust factor for you.
Okay, well, I'm going to determine my own arc. I don't want anybody else. I want to have as much control over my destiny as I can.
But you were the one who just kept saying it's an inexact science.
It is.
And there's no way to determine if someone's going to bust or not.
Don't know.
Would we rather have that taken out of your hands and let someone else have that be someone else's problem? No, you. Because Carmen said he said he's scared of it.
By a dog.
And he's happy that he read that he'll be gone before the Bears.
Not me. I mean, I want to be able to make that decision on my own. Don't you think teams regret I mean, there are different examples in all of sports. So do you think teams regret passing on Warren Sapp? Randy Moss? I mean, there's when you have the opportunity. Had people had a different feel about Randy Moss, he'd have never gotten to the Minnesota Vikings, right? So how do I know that after doing all of my due diligence, maybe the Chicago Bears front office is very comfortable who Jalen Carter is at that point?
Well, with this way, you don't even have to pass on him. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm with you. I don't know what the right decision is. I said last week while you were gone, with Jalen Carter, I'm confused. And I don't know, because I could argue both sides. I could kick myself and say, are you kidding me? This is a guy who had a lot of issues off the field. And then after having issues off the field, the only thing he could control was going out and kicking ass on a pro day. And instead of going and working, he put on weight and couldn't finish a pro day when he told people, look, I'm going to go back to work. And then that's the thing on the field that he control. And then you say to yourself, I there are too many signs here. And then you cite Warren Sapp and you cite
Randy Moss.
The Randy Moss story. And I retold the story about how the Bears had the chance in the first draft of Mark Hatley and Bill Reese, and they had Walter Payton go out to breakfast with Randy Moss. Randy Moss blew off Walter Payton, and it was their first draft, and they're like, he had too many issues. Then he blows off Walter Payton. We can't take him.
Yeah, I don't.
And this is Ryan Poles' first round right. pick. And I wouldn't blame him for passing on him either. But then when he's good, I would also kick myself there too. So I would kick myself in both spots. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, right. This is why Ryan Poles has one of 32 jobs and makes a poo ton of money. Like, this is your moment. You got to make the right decision. I don't think, you know, first of all, I take a step back. We always reference Warren Sapp and Randy Moss with the acknowledgement that it's not an apples to apples comparison. Different issues for different guys, but the gist is the same here. Let me ask you a question, okay? I'll answer your question by asking a question. Let's say you're Ryan Poles and you're Ian Cunningham and you go through the process and you have this thought in your mind. Listen, this doesn't look good. You had the transgression. He's made some bad decisions. He didn't have his stuff together for the pro day. I would argue that, you know, after two or three practices, 8 or 9 pounds may come off you really quick. So I'm not worried about the weight. What I'm worried about is the behavioral pattern. But let's say Ian Cunningham and Ryan Poles do their due diligence. It gets to the draft, and they are personally comfortable with this issue being put in the past and who he is now and who he will be going into the future. If you as a front office has come to that conclusion, don't you want that player available when you pick at 9?
Yeah, of course you do. I would think so. Yes. Yes. But the other point is, for every Randy Moss and for every Warren Sapp, how many of those didn't make it that we don't cite? Like, who's the kid who punched a player on the field, the running back? Like, who's the kid out of Nebraska who failed?
Like, I mean, there's several of them. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Or Lendale Whites of the world. Like, how many?
But do you know
how many guys who had red flags that failed? That we just don't remember their names because they had red flags that failed.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. I'm sure that there are red flags attached to players that you never hear of. There are also instances,
or that we heard of and they passed for good reason, and they don't come up because they didn't turn it around.
Yes, that's true. Joe Mixon is a recent player who had trouble in college and found his way in the NFL and has had a good run with the Cincinnati Bengals. There are also instances where Derek Thomas becomes Derek Thomas. John Theory becomes John Theory because you just miss. Not that right. You pick them at the same time.
Sure.
But when you evaluate the hit rate on a first-round pick, isn't what you want it to be traditionally anyway.
Want him on the board.
I'm not ignoring that there's risk attached to it. But if you ask me, would I rather have it in my power to make that decision at 9 to draft him or not draft him? Of course I'd rather have the ability to draft him if I wanted to versus having him go to the Detroit Lions or elsewhere and me not have the opportunity to draft him.
My question wasn't, again, do you take him or not? We had that discussion ad nauseum last week. This was, based on the mocks, he was gone at 5 and 6 in the two mocks I read. Is that a scenario where, like, phew,
nope,
I don't have to have my general manager worry about this in his first-round pick, where he's putting that on his plate and he has to weigh this red flag situation where the guy's got questions on and off the field? Or do you want him to have that issue that he has to deal with?
Yeah, I'm not. And again, I get it. It's his first-round pick, but he just traded the first overall pick, and we all like what he did.
Right.
So it's not like, you know, I get this is going to be his first-round pick, but
it's still a big foundational piece.
Everything he does is going to be a big foundational decision.
I know, but this is his Kevin White. It still is Kevin White.
Well, yes, but true, but it's blunted by also he got DJ Moore in his Kevin White.
I get it. He's got 61.
He got 24.
Moore, right.
He's, you know, first round. Like, he turned a first round pick into a number of stuff. He didn't draft Kevin White. He turned that asset into more assets and DJ Moore.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
His first round pick is actually all this stuff that he got in the trade.
Yep. Taylor in Hyde Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Taylor?
Yo, what's up, guys? It's really refreshing to hear you guys in the morning. I want to say this before one of my heroes, RG3, comes on. Look, you're setting expectations way too high. The Bears are going to be a 6-7 win team. 9 wins is crazy. That's tripling their win capacity from last year.
7-9.
And let's just kind of take a step back. Every single 17 teams that the Bears are playing this year, 17 of them are circling the Bears as a victory on their calendar. A victory, okay? So there's other radio stations this morning that are talking about their NFL team and overlooking the Bears simply because they were the number one pick and the worst team last year. And let's be honest, they haven't improved the offensive line. They have not improved the defensive line. Justin Fields is still the worst passer in the NFL currently. We got a receiver in DJ Moore, which sounds like he does not want to be here because he knows this is where receivers come to die. And so I'm sitting here thinking, how is this team going to win 9 games when in the division, you said, you know, split, the Lions are licking their chops because they gotten better this year and improved their offense this year. They're licking their chops to win 2 games last year. They're going to win 2 more games probably this year. The Vikings are also licking their chops. They're saying we won 2 games last year. We're probably going to win 2 games this year. We might split against the Packers. So I don't see how we just jump
okay,
to these.
Okay, let's take a step back, okay? So let's reintroduce the thought here. First of all, if I was putting my money down, Taylor, I'd put my money down on 7 wins. That's where my money would go right now. And my statement, the overwhelming statement that I feel strongest about is if you believe this is a 5-win team, anything really under 7 wins. And remember, Taylor, 7-10. I mean, we can all do the math. You're 3 games under 500. You're not a great football team. You're probably the last or the third place team in the NFC North if you're 7-10. If you don't go from 3-14 to 7 wins in the 2023 season after having the number one overall selection and having more money than anybody in all of free agency, and a quarterback that a lot of people are, quote-unquote, all in on. If that is all the case and you don't get to 7 wins, as I've said, something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Taylor, I got to put you back on hold because I want to be sure we're on time for RG3. But we will continue this, and I love when you call in. And like he called in saying he would predict 7. So I don't think we're that far off or it's that ridiculous. All right. So Robert Griffin III is going to join us. He's fantastic. We'll talk to him about the Bears. They were discussing that today on Get Up. We'll do that coming up next.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Baseball drama last night at the World Baseball Classic Championship game where Japan beat the U.S. 3-2. Shohei closed out the ninth, striking out Angels teammate Mike Trout for the final outs. Clippers All-Star Paul George left last night's game with apparent right leg injury. George left the arena on a cart with his right leg extended. And the Bulls back to work tonight, look to stay hot. Joel Embiid and the Sixers come to town. Bulls have won 5 of 6, and they remain a game and a half ahead of the Pacers in the play-in race.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, so we're in for Cap and Jay Hood. It's Waddle and Sylvie, normally 2 to 6. Hoodie is on vacation the next couple of days. So Cap is going to do our show, normally 2 to 6, but we have a White Sox game the next couple of days. So he'll just handle that short show solo. So we'll be on in the morning. Greeny coming up at 10. Carmen and Yurko at noon to 2. RG3 here shortly. Talking some Bears football, and the mocks have, we were talking about the Jalen Carter story, but I didn't say that both mocks that I read yesterday, Mel Kiper, Daniel Jeremiah, they both have the Bears taking offensive tackles. Mel had them taking
Paris Johnson
from Ohio State, and then Daniel Jeremiah had them taking Skoronski from Northwestern.
I'd be a happy Bears fan if they find themselves a tackle in this draft. Very happy.
Yeah.
Because I'm still one that believes, and it'd be interesting to get RG3's perspective on it. I'm one that right now, I'm more concerned with the protection than I am the advancement on the edges. Like, I want a more secure pocket, especially in the interior. Both are important for the development of young quarterbacks. But I think that the protection in this situation, I know that there's a lot of stats out there that suggest that the Bears' offensive line wasn't as bad as everybody thinks. I would say use your eyes, and at times it was awful. They could run the ball. There's no doubt they created some space in the running game. I think some of the space was also a result of Justin being a threat running the football as well. But there were times when that pocket was just an absolute jailbreak. And I think securing that portion of the offense is really important, maybe even more important than adding the weapons that they have added in the offseason. So let's see them secure the pocket, and let's get some help on the defensive line, and then I'll be even more optimistic.
Draft a tackle. You continue to develop Braxton Jones if you have two tackles who are young. And then all of a sudden now you have Nate Davis that you just signed. Draft in the later rounds a center. You should be able to get a center mid to late rounds that you're good with. And then hopefully Tevin Jenkins then takes another step after last year. Like, he showed you a lot of good. He still has to show you now that you can count on him for 17 games.
Look, I understand. Like, Taylor has, I understand Taylor's point where he called in and said, guys, listen, you're being too optimistic. I don't think I'm being too optimistic. My retort would be, I think you're giving guys a pass. I think you're giving the GM and the quarterback a pass if, in fact, this team doesn't show significant progress. And significant progress doesn't mean you're a Super Bowl threat or you're going to win the division. It means that visibly you see a different product, and when they do become a team that is more pleasing, the record's going to come along with it. I'm not talking not. I told you, my money, 7 wins. If
that's
the total comes out at 6.5, I'm going to play the over. I'm not going to play the under.
That's my prediction. My prediction is right now at 7. Like, I'd be willing to make a bet with somebody just for you-know-whats and giggles where I would put the total at 7.
Yeah.
And it would be a push where I couldn't lose for 7. Like, I would like it at 6.5. But, like, I would, like, make a play for you-know-whats and giggles at 7, no lose at 7. And it would be a loss at 6, and it'd be a win for me at 8. That's more of a step out where only a win would be at 8.
Yeah.
But I could see them getting a win, like, going and getting to 8. That's still 8-9. It's still a game under 500.
I think they would tell you up at Halas Hall, the coach, the GM, and the quarterback would tell you that if they don't make enough progress – where the record would come along for the ride, and they would get to 7 wins, I can guarantee you that all 3 of them would tell you they would be massively disappointed. Now, again, it's their team. It's their livelihood. They're going to be optimistic. But I think that the expectation level needs to be set. Listen, we're the city that wants to hump. Like if,
that's our new catchphrase on Waddle and Sylvie.
Yes, and like using that as the criteria, you would think that both of us would be like, anything more than three wins, let's go, let's have a party, let's all night long, let's rock this thing. No, I'm telling you, if you don't expect progress and the record to come along with it, then I think that you're giving everyone up in the building a pass.
Yeah, when people say to us, Sylvie, you're too hard, or that Chicago, or when someone comes at me and says Chicago's too hard of a town, I'm like, no. In this town, we want to hump.
Yeah.
We're pretty, like, we have three teams in the middle of a rebuild. We have the Bears, we have the Hawks, and we have the Cubs in the middle of a rebuild. Like, right now, the Bulls are a good example. There are Bulls fans who are like, why don't you love Zach? Zach's a losingest player in the NBA of veterans who have played over 500 games. The Bulls are still three games under 500.
Clinging to the 10 seed.
Like, yeah, the Bulls are 8-4 since Pat Beverly. I want a hump. This is like, we're softies in this town.
No doubt.
This ain't Philly. This ain't Boston. This ain't New York.
Nope.
This is a big city that wants to hump. We just give us a little. Justin Fields. Justin has had a lot of great moments. He'll give you the splash play. But certainly, he's no Joe Burrow yet.
No.
But we want a hump.
Yes. So, again, I don't think setting the bar at significant tangible improvement, which would materialize into probably seven wins, I don't believe that that's selling false hope. I believe that's putting the level of expectation at a reasonable spot. It really is. Like, I mean, if this team can't make some progress, what are we going to be saying at the end of December? Like, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, what do we do now? What are we going to do now? Now, fortunately, the general manager has done some stuff that leaves him with an escape hatch.
Right.
But, like, look, let's expect more. You can't have it both ways. You can't be out there saying, he is him. He is the one. We just need to give him some
with
stuff.
The number one.
And then say, well, five wins is good with... No! No! I mean, if he is him and the general manager is good at his job, you're going to be a much better football team based on what you've had at your disposal, and you're going to be a 7 or 8 win team. That's just it's not rocket science, is it? Like, am I laying out something that doesn't make sense?
Where
you have to say to yourself, we're together on this. We skipped a spot here. You just leapt from here to over here. Look, 2023 should be something, it will be the easier part of the journey. The easiest part was 3-14 because you tore this thing all the way to the studs. The second easiest part, and none of it is overall easy, is going from 3 wins to 7 wins. And then it gets hard because then everyone is really revved up. You got a Bears Woody every morning you wake up, and I know it's February, and you're like, when does the season start?
Ask Aaron Rodgers how hard it is.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers won one in 18 years.
Yes. So when
one
you
won, when, and he was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
When you go from 7 wins to 11 wins, that's where it gets really rocky and difficult, and all of your decisions are even more important. That's when it gets really hard. That's 2024. If they can skip that part and go from 3-14 to 11-6, prove me wrong, I'll be here all day long to say this is awesome. I don't expect it.
By the way, Rodgers only went to one Super Bowl, right?
I think so.
In all the years, he's only gotten to one.
Well, he's still a great player.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He just makes it hard.
That's why it's hard. Yes. That's a great example of how hard it is.
Yes. Very hard.
But you could get to 8.
Yes.
That's the easy part. And I'm out completely on the Rodgers talk now. Now that he's declared the Jets, wake me up when they have an agreement.
I'm not sure when that's going to be.
Okay. Well, I'll take a good long nap then on the Rodgers talk.
You may have to.
I'll go into the dark room on Rodgers talk. But I've got other stuff to talk about. I'm ready for baseball. I'm ready for the Bulls run.
I'm ready for that 79 win baseball season on the north side?
I'm ready. You stop it. I'm ready for the Sweet 16.
Which will then bleed into angst about whether or not the Cubs are going to be real players for Shohei in
the offseason. I'm ready for Masters talk before I'm ready for more Rogers talk.
Wow.
I'm ready for all of it.
That is a stretch.
Yeah. Give me some Patrick Kane and the Rangers before any of the Rogers talk.
Now I know you're just babbling. You're just babbling at this point.
Can you believe we are already making changes before it's already started for Major League Baseball and some of the rules? I don't know if you saw this, but I will bring this to your attention. It's all coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, it's time for the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day. As we're in for the guys. Hoodie's on vacation. Cap will be in for us before White Sox baseball tonight. It's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Shot or no shot, if it were socially acceptable, you would poop in public anywhere.
No shot. Well, this opens Pandora's box here, and more than just Pandora's box. I mean, so are we just dropping trow here now?
Well,
I mean,
it's become socially acceptable in this example.
So that means now nudity is socially acceptable?
I guess so.
Or do we just
know.
Have like a poop flap where now we just open up the poop flap and we take a squat? Yeah. Does this mean now wiping is not an issue?
Wow. No, why would that be?
Why are we wiping then?
You have to.
Well, do we? Like, don't wipe.
Well, I know, but then you'd have to have like a toilet paper bag that you throw away when you're done. You'd have to clean it up after yourself, I would think, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have to treat yourself like the dog that you are for crapping in the street?
I don't think you should be allowed to pee all the time outdoors, because then there would just be pee all over the place.
We live in an even more disgusting environment than we already do.
I believe at birth, like a coach in a football game gets two challenges before every football game.
Call it the whiz flag.
You get two free public urinations. You should not get arrested for your first public urination or a ticket. That's ridiculous. You should get two free emergencies.
What if you're standing on top of the Chicago Theater sign peeing down on?
You should not be able to rain down on people. Right. Well, you should not be able to whiz on people.
I'm just trying to find a where our make barriers
it rain.
Are
you
here.
You should not be able to make it rain.
And that's all, folks.
Sure, David Flom at Chicago Cut Steakhouse is very proud of us for that fine moment, making it the Chicago Cut Steakhouse cut of the day.
You want to carry around a whiz flag that you're able to throw to the ground.
Yeah, like, Mr. Officer, I really, really, really had to go. I haven't ever whizzed in public. I have a challenge flag.
Let me see your public urination punch card, see if you have any.
It hasn't been punched yet.
No.
And so I'm allowed to go here in the alley. You cannot arrest me. You cannot give me a ticket for this. That's one. I've got another free one coming the rest of my... You have to use this the rest of your life.
Can you borrow one from a friend?
No.
If you're out?
You cannot. No. There's no borrowing or stealing. You cannot go and it's not like, what are they stealing these days from cars?
The catalytic converters.
Yeah, you cannot go around and steal these things like it's a catalytic converter. You've got two for your life.
If I only had two of something, I would not share it with anybody. If I get two free passes, I'm not giving you one of my free passes for life. I don't get that back.
I think you should actually get your card gets renewed every year. You get two a season.
No, not a season. And then you just have people pissing all over the place.
Well, what if you have what if you have more than two emergencies in your life?
Have you really had that many?
I don't know, what if you did? Like if you have two, what's wrong with three in a...
This is why it's strategy. Like, are you going to waste it on a really drunk St. Patrick's Day festival?
No.
You know what I mean?
Save that for a rainy day.
You've got to use it. So check out a Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle on the River. It's absolutely awesome. I love the bacon appetizer. I know Cap always talks about the lobster cargo. I love the bacon appetizer, and I think that they have the best filet, not in Chicago, but in the country.
I can see you hanging it off of the edge of the patio, peeing into the river. I can see that.
I mean, how dare you?
How dare you?
You make it sound
throwing
like you can't.
Throwing a flag. I got to go.
Making it rain.
Yeah.
Like I'm a Dave Matthews bus.
Yes.
And I'm going on the boats underneath.
Well, not necessarily in the boats, just in the water. By the way, were you the one that said how much would it take for you to jump into the river? Was that your little question?
Yeah. Like, how much? Just to jump in and jump out.
Yeah, I my number's going up the more times I think about it.
It's going up.
Yeah, it's going up.
I said a grand originally. Well,
Didn't you see the story about, you know,
about how it gives you an infection in the stomach?
Right. Yeah.
By the way, did you see baseball? Is Rob Manfred has already promised tweaks to the pitch clock? I think that's where it's going.
What kind of tweaks?
I don't know.
If these are reasonable tweaks, they're understandable.
Maybe they could maybe make it like instead of 15, 16, or 17 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, if the essence of the change stays intact, I'm cool with it. If it goes from 15 seconds to 25 seconds,
They won't do that. You've blown it up. The word is the pitchers have complained about the 15 seconds with no runners on base. There have been no complaints about 20 seconds with runners on base. So maybe there's a thought that they could tweak it or when they start the clock with no runners on base. But
again, I'm fine with that. I mean, just do it within reason. Common sense should rule the day. But I do believe that these rules are going to have a significant impact on at least how I consume the game and my enjoyment of it. I'm in for you give me three. It's probably going to be a lot of them are going to be, you know, 2:45, little under 3 hours. I'm in. But the pace is going to be quicker. And that's all I really care about.
I just find it weird that you spent almost all of spring training working in these rules, getting used to all these rules. And you're like, wait a minute. We're going to change this right before the regular season starts.
2 seconds means a lot.
You're telling me. I know. Give you 2 great seconds. All right, we've got Greeny coming up next. And again, Cap will be in for us today before White Sox baseball. Will be in 2 to 3. And then Sox play the Royals in our time slot at about 3 o'clock. Bleck and Abdallah back together at 6 to 8. Thank you to Jay Moore and also Shane Norling. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Wednesday.
From Chicago.